Welcome to Prophecy Today with your Bible teacher, Dr. Jimmy DeYoung. Our goal at Prophecy Today is to reach the world with the news that Jesus is returning soon and to encourage Christians to live a pure and productive life in light of His imminent return. Jimmy, tell us what we can expect from today's broadcast.
Jay, today we begin a brand new series that will answer the question, where is the United States in Bible prophecy? We'll begin our study in the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 10.
Thank you, Jimmy. And now our Bible teacher, Dr. Jimmy DeYoung.
But when I open up the floor for Bible prophecy questions, I'm always asked, where is the United States in Bible prophecy? Where is the United States? The other day I was in a meeting down south and I opened up for prophecy Q&A and somebody asked that question, and before I could give the answer, a guy in the back said, "Hey, I know." I normally do not give, any leeway for anybody in the audience to respond to the question. But this guy was rather overbearing, so I said, "Okay, sir, where do you think the United States is in Bible prophecy?" He said, "I don't think, Sonny, I know." I said, "Okay, where is it?" "Jerusalem." I said, "Sir, the question is, where is the United States?" "Hey, I know the question, Sonny. The answer is Jerusalem." I said, "How do you get that, sir?" He said, "It's very simple. J-E-R-U-S-A-L-E-N. And I laughed just like you did. But that is the answer. That is the answer. If the United States is in Bible prophecy, it has a relationship with Jerusalem. I'll get to that in a few moments. Let's take our Bibles, though, and go to the book of Genesis, because I want to look this morning with you at the origins of states, the origins of nations. You know, the first 12 chapters of the book of Genesis is key to our understanding of not only the entire Word of God, but Bible prophecy. The book of Genesis is a foundation for Bible prophecy. Everything in the first 12 chapters that is laid out there is the genesis of understanding all of Bible prophecy. Genesis, the first 12 chapters, goes like this. Genesis 1 is creation. Genesis 2, the special effects or details of creation. Genesis 3 is the fall of man. Genesis 4 is the story of Cain and Abel. Genesis 5 is a genealogy from Adam to Noah. Genesis 6, 7, and 8 is Noah and the flood. Genesis 9 is Noah after the flood. Genesis 10, another genealogy. Genesis chapter 11 is the Tower of Babel, and chapter 12, call of Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees. And in those 12 chapters, you have 2,000 years of history. 2,000 years from Genesis 1 to Genesis 12. It lays out the foundation of all of Bible prophecy. Now remember I said Genesis chapters 6, 7, and 8 would be Noah and the flood. Genesis chapter 9 is Noah after the flood. Look at chapter 9 just a moment with me, and let me show you what God says to Noah and his three sons and their four wives after the flood is over. They've landed on the mountains of Ararat, which would be eastern Turkey, right over near the Russian border. And here's what the Lord says to Noah, chapter 9 and verse 1. "And God blessed Noah and his sons, and he said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth." Replenish the earth, or repeople the earth. There were approximately, those who make up these statistics, approximately 1 billion people on the earth from the time of creation until the time of Noah's flood. 1 billion people were killed, with the exception of 8 souls: Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, his three sons, and their four wives. Those are the only 8 souls remaining after this great judgment of a worldwide flood. Now the Lord tells Noah and his sons and their wives, "Be fruitful, multiply, and repeople the earth." Chapter 10 is the beginning of at least the obedience of these men having relations with their women and moving forward to do exactly what the Lord said, repeople the earth. Chapter 10 and verse 1. "Now these are the generations of the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and unto them were sons born after the flood." Now here are the sons of Japheth. I'm not going to read them all, but let me just highlight a couple of them. The sons of Japheth: Gomer, Magog, skip a couple, Tubal, Meshech, look at the last one in verse 3, Togarmah. Now, wait a minute. I just told you that all of Bible prophecy has its foundation in the book of Genesis. In a moment or two, we're going to be looking at Ezekiel chapter 38. I have just given you the names of the personalities in Ezekiel 38 and are the nations that will be involved in that alignment of nations coming against the Jewish state of Israel in the beginning of the tribulation period. Their names come from the sons of Noah, sons of Japheth, grandsons of Noah, and they are the ones who established the nations that we'll be talking about. Look what I'm talking about here. Look at verse 5 of chapter 10. By these were the isles of the Gentiles divided into their lands, everyone after his tongue, after their families, and in their nations. Now, what happened over in chapter 11 of the book of Genesis is that the people, all of the earth, was speaking one language. Because of that, Nimrod was able to go into the face of God, and instead of doing what the Lord had told him to do in chapter 9 and verse 1, be fruitful, multiply, repeople the earth, he instead said, no, we're not going to fill this earth with people. We're going to build a great city. It will be the beginning of my kingdom. I'm going to set everything in place. And the whole world followed him and got in line behind him. Because of that, then God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit came down, chapter 11, confused the languages. Now we're looking at a world with so many different languages. Nobody's really able to understand each other until they start finding those who are speaking a common language and start coming together to establish a settlement of some type. Once they have done that, then they are going to have children, some of them. They'll teach their children a language, and then they'll move to a location to establish a nation speaking that language. Now, that is the beginning of all nations. Look again at verse 5. By these were the isles of the Gentiles divided into their lands, everyone after his tongue. And so they started learning the language that the Lord had given to them at that place in Babel. After his tongue, after their families, they started raising families in their nations. They established nations. Let's think about this just a moment. You can go to any historical, geographical textbook on biblical lands, and you can look up Magog, Meshach, Tubal, Gomer, and Togarmah. When you do that, you're going to see that Magog went to the north of the Caspian and Black Sea with his family, teaching them a language. North of the Caspian and Black Sea, if you know anything about geography, would be what we know as modern-day Russia. Meshach, Tubal, Gomer, and Togarmah went south of the Caspian and Black Sea, and that would be in the geographical area that we know today as modern-day Turkey. In fact, I was in Turkey doing some television not too long ago, picked up an ancient Turkish map, and that Turkish map was relating to me that during biblical times, Turkey was divided into four parts. Those four parts, Meshach, Tubal, Gomer, and Togarmah. And so we see that the sons of Japheth, grandsons of Noah, took their families, taught them a language, and went to a geographical location and established a nation. Now let's look at verse 6. This is the next son. This would be Ham. And the sons of Ham, Cush, and Mizraim, and Put, and Cana. Now let me just think through you with you who these people are. When you come to Cush, Cush is what we know today as the area of Ethiopia, Somalia, and Sudan. Mizraim is modern-day Egypt, Put is modern-day Libya, and Cana is modern-day Israel. And so we see now that additional nations are coming into existence as well, and this is laying out for us a very interesting concept. Right now, here in chapter 10, we're 262 years away from Abraham ever coming on the scene. Did you hear what I just said? Right now, in this passage of Scripture, I got the number from the genealogies. Don't throw away genealogies. There's some great truth in genealogies. There's a genealogy in chapter 5 that sets up for the reason Noah was able to escape the flood and his family. A genealogy in chapter 10 laying out for us where these peoples go to establish nations. Chapter 11, a genealogy bringing us to Abraham. And if you look at chapter 10 with Ham having these boys, Cush, Mizraim, and Put, and Cana, you'll have to realize that Abraham's not on the scene. It's 260 years plus before he's ever going to come on the scene. And by the way, listen to me, that's going to be a number of years before Ishmael ever comes on the scene. Here's my point. Ishmael did not father the Arab world. I just established that Ethiopia, Somalia, Sudan, Egypt, the most populated Arab nation in the world, and Libya are involved as sons of Ham, grandsons of Noah, establishing nations. How do I know they established nations? Look here in verse 20. Now, these are the sons of Ham, after their families, after their tongues, in their countries, in their nations. One I didn't throw in, Cush has a son named Nimrod, and verse 10 of chapter 10 says the beginning of his king was Babel in the plains of Shinar. Now, that's the area of Mesopotamia, the two rivers, Tigris and Euphrates. The plains of Shinar would be what we know as modern-day Iraq, another Arab country. Let's just take a moment and go to the book of Genesis chapter 16 with me. The book of Genesis chapter 16. In chapter 16, we see what is going to happen as it relates to the birth of Ishmael. Again, if we're going to understand the nations, we got to understand who they really are. Ishmael did not father the Arab world. Abraham did not father the Arab world. They did father one nation. Let me tell you who they are. Chapter 16 and verse 1. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children, and she had a handmaiden, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said unto Abraham, Behold, now the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maiden, and it may be that I may obtain children by her. And so Abram hearkened unto the voice of his wife Sarah. He goes in unto Hagar. He impregnates her. They are going to have a son. His name is going to be Ishmael. Oh, by the way, where was Hagar from? Oh, the first verse says she was an Egyptian. That verse right there should show you that, hey, Ishmael did not father the Arab world. Unless, now I have a PhD doctorate, I don't have an MD. But I think if there's an MD in the audience, you could probably confirm this. It's impossible for a man to father his mother. I think that's correct. And if that be the case, Ishmael couldn't father Hagar, an Egyptian. So Ishmael certainly didn't establish the Egyptian people. Look what it says over here. The Lord does meet with Jesus Christ, I'm talking about, in a pre-incarnate appearance, does meet with Hagar. Look at verse 8. And he said unto Hagar, Sarai has a maiden, whence camest thou? And he was asking what she was concerned about. And then he said unto her in verse 10, and the angel of the Lord said, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly. That, by the way, the angel of the Lord is a pre-incarnate appearance of Christ. And that you shall be numbered for a multitude. And the angel of the Lord, Jesus Christ, said unto her, Behold, thou art with child, and shall bear a son, and shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thine affliction. And he will be a wild man. His hand shall be against every man, and every man's hand against him, and he shall dwell in the presence of all of his brethren. There's a character analysis of what Ishmael is going to be like, a wild man raising his hand against every man, every man's hand against him. But indeed, he's going to father a nation. It didn't say nations, a nation. Look what it says here in verse 20 of chapter 17. The Lord Jesus again appears to Abraham. He's had this son, Ishmael, and here's what he tells him. Verse 20, And as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I have blessed him, and I will make him fruitful, and I will multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall he begot, and I will make him a great nation, one nation.
Ishmael became the father of one nation, not the many nations of the Arab world. This is key to understanding Bible prophecy. Next week, we'll see which nation was fathered by Ishmael as we continue to answer the question, where is the United States in Bible prophecy? Right now, here's Jay to tell you how you can get your copy of this week's study.
Thank you, Jimmy. We'll definitely be looking forward to next week's study. By the way, if you're interested in purchasing your copy of this week's study, you can visit our website at prophecytoday.com or call our toll-free number at 8-PROPHECY-8. That's 877-674-3298. You've been listening to Prophecy Today with Dr. Jimmy DeYoung. We trust that you have enjoyed this time in God's prophetic word. Once again, to get a copy of today's broadcast, visit our website at prophecytoday.com. Remember, Jesus is coming, and it could be today. So let's keep looking up. until...